Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them
free.
Be
advised. For Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies of God-hating, America-despising liberals is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
How about that crazy dude flailing his hands and arms about meaninglessly while supposedly or ostensibly interpreting Obama for the deaf? Wow. Is this pregnant with metaphorical meaning or what? But first, you should know this character did not simply wander up onto the stage and start signing gibberish. He was hired. And furthermore, he has perpetrated this fraud before. Yeah, I understand he once did this translating for Zuma, who is the current president of South Africa. A Federation for the Deaf has complained about this guy in the past. So the real question is, how did he get this gig? Who keeps hiring him? How did he pass whatever security clearances would be thought necessary to get this close to any world leader, much less this many world leaders, and at such an event? I don't know. Perhaps God arranged it as a sort of cosmic joke on the world. I don't know. Mandela was a godless communist who used the issue of race to leverage himself into power, after which he presided over the virtual collapse of that nation's economy and a rise in violence on par with Chicago, only on a national scale. He was popular among liberals, even though he fought the establishment with acts of terrorism, because, after all, liberals are intellectually deaf, and the media's messages are essentially meaningless gibberish. Hold on, we're only getting started here. Mandiba, as he is affectionately called by his devotees in Africa, or Mandiba, whatever, and as Obama referred to him in his address, by the way, at the memorial, is said by many to have become a Christian. Yeah, I read one article written by somebody who claims to have met Mandela that says he was impressed that the African leader was transformed by his faith, probably while in prison, from a violent communist to a pacifist liberal Democrat or Democrat. Well, he used the word democracy anyway. But we are exploring metaphors here, are we not? His prison cell was described by this enthusiastic Mandela admirer as to be sort of a shrine, you know, where... Well, come to think of it, he does not mention the Bible being there, or any work of Christ or Christian work at all. He does mention Gandhi, though, who, the writer tells us, once said that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was truly inspired. Anyway, since virtually all Afrikaners claim to be Christian, quote-unquote, nominally speaking, then, of course, Mandela must be one. And that is about the extent of this man's evidence to support his Mandela is a Christian or became a Christian hypothesis, which, as you know, is a supposition based on limited evidence as a starting point for further investigation. Only this guy doesn't go any further in his investigation. Nothing in Mandela's speeches or statements would support the hypothesis. He was a secularist. The reason he abandoned violence is because, well, you know, you only advocate violence so long as you're attempting to overthrow the establishment. Once you become the establishment, well... then violence is very bad. In other words, Bill Ayers is a hero to liberals because he advocated violence and used violence against a conservative establishment. But anyone who advocates violence against the liberal establishment is a pariah, the veritable excrement of the earth, and we must pile up billions of rounds of hollow point ammunition. I mean, to prepare, to suppress any possible violent uprising against the establishment when liberals have it. Another fellow lauding the Christian virtues of Mandela quoted him saying, quote, I thank whatever gods may be for my uncomfortable soul. I am the master of my faith. I am the captain of my soul. Now, this quote, ostensibly of Mandela, if accurate, is about as much gibberish as the fellow signing for the deaf at his memorial. But I think Mandela probably quoted William Ernest Henley's Invictus correctly. And the lines taken from that poem, brought together for this quote, are correctly these, quote, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. And then, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul, end quote. Now, this is written by William Ernest Henley in the late 1800s, of whom it is said he was a self-described militant humanist, although I cannot find any place where he made such a statement, except as that is implied through his most famous of poems, named Invictus by an editor some years after it was written, by the way. And the word Invictus means unconquered or unconquerable. Obama, as a tribute to Mandela, quoted from this poem, and so did Timothy McVeigh, by the way, who used the words of this poem as the lyric of his own swan song just before they injected his veins with that fluid that sent him, in the words of Henley's poem, quote, into the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, end quote. And I'll add, to face the God that created thee. Anyway. Now, you will need to think about that for a little while to really get it. Anyway, Mandela is famous for his love of this poem. And now he has gone into the dark that covered him, black as the pit, and that must mean the grave, to face the God who created his soul. And you know, it's funny to me. Funny maybe is the wrong word, I'm using it facetiously, but it's funny how these puny fellows that rail so against God, you know, I am the master of my fate. Oh, what a lofty thing to say. What a fool. Now here he is upon his deathbed, defiant to the last, right? And who is the master of your fate now? Are you such a fool, controlled by your own self-deceit and defiance, that you would, in the face of death, say, I'm master of my fate. I choose this death, right? You've decided to die right then. Is that right? You might. I've met people like that. And then you will face God, and in your judgment, will you declare to him, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Really? Oh, my. I've met idiots like this. You know, so they're out there. And so tell me, when you hear the awful sentence, quote, depart from me, ye cursed, into the lake of everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, end quote, Matthew 25, will you go off willingly, screaming defiantly at God as you go? Off to hell, you know? I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. I guess you might. In fact, you might be one of those whose hatred for God is so intense that you would run headlong into hell, embracing the flames of torment gladly. When confronted with the alternative, which is to willingly bow the knee to Jesus, the Son of God, and confess that he is Lord. All I can say to you is this, you're an idiot. You don't own your own soul, God does. Thou fool, this day shall thy soul be required of thee. Huh? You will not master your fate. You're not captain of your soul. And perhaps the greatest sorrow for you will not be hell and its fires in the company of Lucifer and his angels. Perhaps the greatest moment of loathing for your soul will be when your own knees will be compelled to drop before the Lord, and your own raging tongue will be compelled to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's all in the Bible, by the way. Like the fools who arrogantly say, I did it my way, right? Sinatra and all that crowd. And these arrogant fellows who say stuff like this. This is a good one. Well, if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't change a thing. Really. That one really is intriguing to me. I wonder what each one who has been hurt by one of these characters or by some cruel word or deed done by these characters is not somewhat troubled by this insensitive hubris. I mean, in terms of saying anything meaningfully related to truth, here we're getting to point here, and sense, such talk is about as much gibberish as the interpreter for the deaf at Mandela's memorial. What a mock. Here's Obama making some soaring speech about his counterpart in South Africa, and it's like meaningless sign language to people who are intellectually deaf. Like all of Obama's speeches, really. And he's probably one of the worst speech givers that I've ever heard. There's about as much relationship between what he says and the truth as there is between what that man signed to his deaf hearers and what Obama actually said. Obama is speaking to the deaf in a language impossible for them to understand. They simply can't hear him saying, I'm a communist and I want to destroy the Constitution and transform America into a third world dictatorship. He hides his message from his hearers behind a bunch of gibberish. He does so as effectively as that deaf signer hid what Obama actually said from his deaf viewers. Okay, so there you have it, as my beloved dove would say. Benghazi. You know, I wonder about the hearing capacity of my fellow Americans. Jesus often lamented, "Let him that hath ears to hear, hear." Almost as if to say, while he's looking at their ears, "Will you use them?" I wonder if my countrymen have ears. Benghazi. I realize the anniversary of Sandy Hook is upon us here today, Saturday, for my Saturday listeners, and that the media will do what they can to convince you it was all about guns. You know, like they tried to tell you Benghazi was all about a movie. The movie did it argument for Benghazi is about as ridiculous as saying the freedom of Americans to keep and bear arms has anything at all to do with Sandy Hook. But I don't know if you liberals can hear. You stay glued to your MSM TVs, watching them flail their hands about meaninglessly, saying nothing at all that corresponds to the truth about all of this, saying what really amounts to gibberish on the subject, happily, at least so far. Our fellow Americans are not buying in to the MSM gibberish about Sandy Hook. Thank God. I learned recently that in the year following Sandy Hook, approximately 1,500 state gun bills have been introduced in their respective legislatures. In the New York Times, I understand, it was reported that of those, only 109 were actually passed into law. And then, of those that were passed into law, most of them favored gun owners. Yeah, only 39 of the 109 tightened restrictions. 70 actually loosened restrictions. Also, about 136 bills were introduced in 40 different states that would effectively nullify federal gun regulations. Two gun control lawmakers were forced out of office by recall, and another stepped down because he saw the clouds of recall gathering on the horizon in his state. And of course, we remember the lives lost on that tragic day 1 year ago. Six-year-old Daniel comes to mind. While the liberals attempt to use his tragic murder to energize low-information voters to blame the guns and to punish all gun owners for what some deranged criminal did last December 14, we will focus on the real problem, a problem that makes gun ownership necessary, the problem that there is in this world real evil. The liberals can spew out all their gibberish about if only there were no guns in the world, but intelligent people know that so long as there are bad people in the world, good people will need to defend themselves and their loved ones. Do you want to know how many people are killed, let's say, by automobiles? 34,000, I believe, in 2012 so far. And yet no one blames the automobile. You know the number killed by guns, I think it's 9,369, according to this paper. And liberals blame the gun. The existence of automobiles is directly related to the number of deaths that occur in or by them. In 1899, there were only 26 motor vehicle-related deaths. And, you know, there weren't very many cars on the road back then, were there? But as the number of automobiles increased, the number of motor vehicle-related deaths increased as well. In 1900, 36, 1901, 54, 1902, 79, no. I'm not going to go through the entire list year by year. Let's skip 1911, 2043, 1926, 20,771, and then skip over the 2000, 2002, you had 43,005, and then to 2012, where you had 34,000. Which is up from last year's total of 32,360. No doubt because Obama's putting people in these little Cracker Jacks boxcars. You know? Actually, motor vehicle-related deaths peaked in the 70s in the 50,000s and then tapered off and has dropped pretty steadily since 2005 with the first significant uptick this year. But no one blames the car. Why not blame the car? Why not say, yeah, if it weren't for cars, these people would still be alive? But more to the point, why is it that liberals are able to recognize the idiocy of blaming the car for deaths that are motor vehicle related, but cannot see the idiocy of blaming the gun for direct acts of violence by persons using them? While it's true that if there were no cars, then there would be no death by cars, right? Isn't that an absolute truth? But does that mean we shouldn't have cars? By the same insane logic, if there were no knives in the world, no one would be cut by one. And if there were no baseball bats in the world, no one would be clubbed by one. But it's also true that if there were no dogs in the world, no one would be bit by one. And if there were no swimming pools in the world, then no one would drown in one. But then what are you going to do about the rivers? And then, well, if there were no rivers, and then if there were no lakes, and if there were no oceans, and if there were no water, it's absurd. Somebody, please get someone out there who can translate for the deaf. They need to hear what these morons are saying. It's gibberish, but it's dangerous gibberish. It's nonsense. The focus must be on the evil that is in the world and how to address that. What these people are saying amounts to throwing the doors of our culture open to the ravages of evil. take guns away from the honest, law-abiding good men will leave them in the hands of the dishonest, evil men. What would have saved lives at Sandy Hook is the presence of guns in the hands of good men. That would have been Daniel's best hope for survival. But will the deaf hear? I'll be right back. By the way, it's Christmas season, and I want to personally invite you to join us on any of the following few Sundays as we approach and celebrate Christmas at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Christmas Day lands on Wednesday night. We have a regularly scheduled public service on Wednesday evenings, and we will have a special Christmas service on Wednesday night. You're welcome to come. Singing Psalms is an audio CD of several psalms sung to my melodies. God wrote the words and I wrote the music. The cost is $10. Call 1-888-770-8000 or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The Brain Massage Show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, and your brain masseur. Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I want you to begin planning now to join us for our third annual brain massage banquet in 2014. Go ahead and mark your calendar right now for November 14th. Set that aside for our brain massage banquet, where this year we gave away an AR-15, together with a beautiful leather-bound Bible, which together comprise our God and Gunslinger home defense kit. Also, stay tuned for my upcoming announcement for our first ever Second Amendment Sunday at Lighthouse, complete with a gun show, gun safety workshops, self-defense classes, and my somewhat famous message on the Bible and the Second Amendment. Benghazi. I mentioned Benghazi in the last segment, but did not have time to make my point there. They blame Sandy Hook on the gun used by a murdering moron, and they blame the Benghazi terrorist attack on our CIA secret consulate there on some moronic movie about Muhammad. Now, why can't the liberals get straight on where to put blame? Have you noticed this intriguing phenomenon? Liberals almost never put blame where it belongs. All Obama has done from the beginning of his lawless reign is blame Bush for, well, about everything. I mean, it's gotten embarrassing. They refuse to blame liberal education policies for the dismal failure of our education system in this country. And instead, they blame you for not giving them more of your money to spend on indoctrinating your children against your beliefs and turning them into little communists. I mean, it's unbelievable. Not that these evil people are doing what evil people do. Well, we expect the children of disobedience that are under the influence of the prince and power of the air to behave exactly as, well, we see them behaving. What's hard to understand is the number of Americans who are intellectually so deaf who refuse to rise up and overturn this nonsense through a popular revolt in the ballot box. Anyway, we are thinking about the first year anniversary of Sandy Hook, but I can't stop thinking about Benghazi. On September 11, 2012, terrorists attacked and killed our ambassador and three other Americans, and yet here we are, what, about a year and a half later, and we still don't know what happened that night. And more importantly, no one has been held responsible for this. They just can't find anybody to blame for this one. Except the guy that's sitting in jail right now, who made this movie, and is probably the only person that we know for certain had nothing at all to do with the murder of our ambassador and those three brave Americans in Benghazi. It's a purposed blackout, my friend. They are hiding something. Speaker Boehner can stop whining about conservatives in his party and do something meaningful about this debacle by appointing a select committee to investigate Benghazi if he would just get focused on what really matters. But Boehner's too busy advancing the cause of liberal Democrats and criticizing conservative Republicans for standing up to him. What a bummer. When he became speaker, I did a show or two with the expression the Boehner Bummer in the title. You probably can find them in our archives of Brain Massage radio shows by going to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and then click on the archive button up there, and that'll take you to a whole bunch of well over 100 or more shows. You can use a little search feature there perhaps and find some of those shows. Boehner recently chastised the Tea Party, whatever that's supposed to be. Boehner, with a look of disdain and arrogance, says, "I think they are misleading their followers." Really? And he says, quote, I think they're pushing our members in places where they don't want to be. And frankly, I just think that they have lost all credibility by opposing legislation before the details are known, end quote. Really? And of course, he's talking about the Ted Cruzes out there who have exposed the compromising agenda of the GOP aristos, pushing them into positions they don't want to take. Well, like on immigration, on abortion, on homosexual marriage, on Obamacare, and on the budget. No doubt about it. We know that. We know we're having to push you in all these areas. We know you don't represent us or respect us. That's why we got together and sent some representatives up there that do represent us and have respect for us. Guys like Ted Cruz. Now, folks, this war within the GOP between the conservatives there and the quasi-conservatives, those I call the conservatives, as in pulling a con or swindle, together with servative, derived from serva, or in service to, with the suffix IVE, indicating something is tending toward a specific action, or those who call themselves conservative, but really, they are con men, swindling our vote out of us in order to facilitate their own political survival. That's all they're concerned about. They're not concerned about conserving our constitutional form of government. They don't even perceive it to be at risk. They are dedicated to conserving their job, their position. They are motivated by the exact same motivation that moved little minds, little-minded men so many years ago to crucify Jesus. Oh yeah. Little minds, petty men, who feared that if they did not rid themselves of this Jesus fella, well then the, quote, Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation, end quote, John 11:48. And the serpent has once again succeeded to convince these selfish, self-serving, small-minded, politically oriented, and petty men who whine about those who, quote, push them into positions they don't want, end quote, whimper, whimper, mommy, he touched me, wah, 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 he made me do it. You know, talk about the wussification of our society. What a crybaby. If you're standing on principle, then stand for heaven's sake, you wimp, quit whining about it anyway. These guys want to push the Jesus crowd out of their party. And they can thank whatever gods there be for their uncomfortable souls. They want us to go away. But wait, no, not until after you vote for us. Then go away. Vote for us and then go away and shut up. It's Boehner's own version of I don't want to hear a lot of talking out there. Anyway, they don't want these pesky Christians, these Jesus people, pushing their agenda through their party. And that's what this is all about, my friends. Make no mistake about it. They are conservatives, interested in nothing more than holding on to their place in the realms of power, even if it is under the control of the Romans. At least in their case, in their little minds, they at least have a place there in the circle of power. And that's enough for them. That's what they want to protect. That's what they want to conserve. And they view us as a threat to their place in government. And so fearing the Romans, those who hold the political power in our society, will come and remove them from their place. They've decided to abandon all moral right and betray the Jesus in their midst to turn the true conservatives over to the Romans to be crucified. That's what he's doing, throwing us to the wolves. Now, I need to move toward a conclusion, but listen, this is actually an opportunity. Things are shaping up in such a way that a very large number of people who continue to self-identify as Christian would, if they could, rally to a banner raised clear and bold for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that would unashamedly declare their allegiance to Jesus Christ and quote Washington and Hamilton and Henry and Adams and others and fly that banner proudly. It would be such a refreshing thing to see a politician boldly declare his Christian faith and then, when attacked for it, turn the tables on them and position them to defend their anti-Christian bias. It would be great to see someone rise up who would and could say Jesus Christ is Lord, and when the liberals howl like the howling one so many of them serve, simply point out that it's because he's Christian that therefore he believes in liberty of the soul, the integrity of all human rights, and that these rights are endowed to us by our Creator, and then ask them, so where do you think your rights come from? And expose them, force them to come clean and declare what they really believe to the general population, And I believe that there are enough people left in this country that believe that our rights come from God, that lying to the American people is always wrong, that stealing from anyone is evil, and that our Constitution is just and right, and that any oath to defend it is inviolate, and that no one flaunting their disregard for the laws of our land has any business being entrusted to enforce them, that the Constitution is not a so-called living document to be made to say whatever some activist judge decides, and a whole lot of other common sense, clear-headed thinking kind of things on subjects we're talking about today. Statements and responses that would ring the bells of truth in the mind of honest men and even the low information voter, if he's presented with the clear statement of the truth, with simplicity and force of conviction, can be convinced and can be reached. But we must have the courage to step out of the corrupt system, to remove ourselves from the role of pawns in the hands of con men who have used us to give them power that they turn around then and use to abuse us. I'm done. Boehner, you're out. You've mocked the conservatives in your party for the last time, so far as I'm concerned. You'll not get another dime from me, and I'm ready to embrace a new party. There is an opportunity here for a genuine conservative party to rise up and become a genuine force for change indeed in this country. A party like that envisioned by Alexander Hamilton, something like the Christian Conservative Party, where we put forth the essential principles of Christianity without apology, bear the name they attempt to besmirch with dignity and grace, and intelligently engage the low-information voter in a direct way and appeal to the conscience of this nation with truth. Now, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. You say lights on if you see the lights are on, and will ride like Revere and spread the warning. Essentially, it means that you agree with what I'm saying, and you will let others know about this show and spread the word. Or if you disagree with me, you're welcome to call and say lights off. And that means you reject what I'm saying, disagree perhaps strongly with me. What will it be today, I wonder, lights on or lights off? When I go to the message center, I wonder if I'll hear your voice one way or the other, lights on or lights off. Call 1-888-770-8000, that's 1-888-770-8000, and leave a message for us on our listener response hotline, a free call to anyone within the continental United States. And from outside the country, or those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. All one word, lowercase, thebrainmassageshow.com. You'll see there along the right-hand column a place there where you can write me a message, as long a message as you like. Call or write me today. Let me know what you think about these things. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church. Singing Psalms is an audio CD of several psalms sung to my melodies. God wrote the words and I wrote the music. The cost is $10. Call 1-888-770-8000 or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org.
Calling all Lights On listeners to The Brain Massage Show. Keep the lights on. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Invading the territory usurped by the devil through lies and liars, Pastor Scheibach is charging the gates of hell. He wants to know if you've got his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
By the way, it's Christmas season, and I want to personally invite you to join us on any of the following few Sundays as we approach and celebrate Christmas at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Christmas Day lands on Wednesday night. We have a regularly scheduled public service on Wednesday evenings, and we will have a special Christmas service on Wednesday night, and you're welcome to come.